morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody today, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship. Glad that you're here. The beautiful flowers this morning are given by Ken and Florence Langhoff to the glory of God and in loving memory of their daughter Sherry and her best friend Rags. And for those who may not know who Rags is, Rags was her little dog of which she was so fond. And so we thank the Langhoffs for the flowers this morning. This morning, hopefully when you came in, if you would like to receive communion this morning, you picked up one of these little cups. I'm going to give the object lesson now so that when we do observe communion that I won't interrupt it then. When you look at it, most of you probably figured it out already, but just in case you haven't, there's a little wafer on top. There's a thin piece of plastic over that. You will lift up that and take it up, remove it, and eat the wafer. After eating the wafer, then a thicker piece of plastic you remove that, and that will take the seal, the cover off of the cup, the juice cup itself. So as you can see, everything is self-contained. And we will observe communion by receiving communion in that method. You see the chalice and the bread on the table. That is because we're going to observe the liturgy, and I will observe the liturgy at the table as we always do. But when we actually partake of the sacrament, it will be with the elements of in this cup. Hopefully you also picked up a napkin when you came in. That's a double thing. If you need it while you're in your pew, the second thing is, as you leave, just wrap the cup up in the napkin, and there's a garbage can to my right at the very last pew. Just deposit it in the garbage can, and we will be sure that all of that is disposed of. Also, you will not be leaving your pew, and so when we do actually partake of the sacrament, there is going to be no rush. Take as long as you need to manipulate the covers, and then when we are sure everyone has had a chance to receive the elements, then we will have a closing prayer and benediction. To state the obvious, you will need to remove your mask during receiving communion. So don't be thinking you've got to try to sneak it up somehow, put up under your mask and all of that. No, that we do realize that during partaking of your actual sacrament, you'll need to take your mask off long enough to do that. And then, of course, just put it back on when you're finished. And that'll be a good signal for me when I see everybody masked back up. I'll know everyone's received their sacrament. Are there any questions about that process? Are there any announcements that should be made? If not, Pup will lead us in our call to worship. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that we know that you are in this room with us. So we just pray now that we come with our hearts and minds and souls open so that you may receive our thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise that wells up within our hearts, but we don't always know how to express. And that our hearts and minds and souls are open that we might receive that which you would communicate to us as we worship your most holy name. So as we proceed, we do pray that this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it does strengthen your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
This morning we praise God with a litany of praise.
Your part is alleluia, amen. I think you can remember that. So when I indicate, say alleluia, amen. Can we practice?
Alleluia,
amen. Louder than that, please. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Alleluia, amen.
Loud praise to Christ our King.
Alleluia, amen.
Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice.
Alleluia, amen.
Praise yet the Lord again.
Alleluia, amen.
Light shall not end the strain.
Alleluia, amen.
On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness will adore, singing forevermore.
Alleluia, amen.
As we go to prayer this morning, I'd like to mention, some of you may remember that I was scheduled for surgery tomorrow. Due to insurance red tape, that surgery has been postponed. So just be in prayer that all of the Lord works everything out the way that it's supposed to be worked out. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced this morning? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and most loving Lord, as we worship this morning, we worship in indeed unique times. We come at a time when our nation is in turmoil on so many fronts, when the world is in turmoil on so many fronts, when indeed the world battles an unseen but persistent enemy that we've given a name of COVID-19. And gracious God, it is so easy, so human, to look at this time we're going through and say, you know, we've never seen anything like this before. Everything's crazy. Who knows what's going to happen next? That life has never been like this. But Lord, we know that if we but will read Your word, if we will glance back over history, life has always been in turmoil. Life has always had its uncertainties. The world has always had its struggles. Even our nation has always had its struggles. Disease has always tried to attack us. And so, Lord, even though we must confess that we admit that this is no fun, we also are reminded that life has been here before. And Lord, what keeps us going? What keeps us hopeful? What keeps us joyful? What keeps us always looking forward is we know that You have been in every situation throughout all of history, and You are with us today. You were God in history. You are God today. You will be God tomorrow. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, gracious Lord, we just pray that we will focus on You and we will walk with confidence. We will walk with assurance, not because of the power of positive thinking, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. And thus, Lord, may we look to You and not focus on the struggles around us as real as they are. And as we worship this morning, may we always be mindful that we are able to worship you this morning, because there are men and women in civilian roles and in military roles who are standing in the gap between those who would do us harm and us by placing themselves in harm's way. So, gracious Lord, we pray your protection upon those who protect us. And gracious Lord, those in law enforcement, we pray your special touch and blessing and peace upon them. For not only do they stand in the gap between those who would do harm and the innocent population, they also suffer the wrath of those for whom they have sworn to protect and serve. And such is not an easy task, but so many remain faithful to the task. We pray your special touch upon them. And Lord, you know our prayer list this morning. You know the names that are upon our hearts. You know those names that are on our prayer list. You know the situations of life that we remember. May your healing touch be upon each and every one according to your will and your wisdom. And we thank you for our fellowship at Walker Church. We pray that as you have blessed us, we will seek to be a blessing. And when we leave these grounds, remind us your Holy Spirit is with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And would you continue to worship with us by joining in the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, that you find printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us join together in prayer for Thanksgiving and dedication of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we know that we can give to you because you first lavished your gifts upon us. As we bring back now a portion of the financial gifts that you have bestowed upon us, we pray that your blessings continue upon each gift and each giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted will be used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
It is worth.
Scripture lesson this morning is 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may have heard me use a term before when talking about stress and worry. It's the FUD factor. F-U-D factor. And how the FUD factor contributes to stress and worry. So recently I set out to see if this was something I had just heard somewhere along the way and kind of halfway sort of made up based on something I had seen from somebody else. And so I started that search. FUD stands for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So according to Wikipedia, this is the definition. Quote, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, often shortened FUD, is a disinformation strategy used in sales, marketing, public strategy, and politics to influence perception by disseminating negative and dubious or false information and a manifestation of the appeal to fear. End quote. Now, I know Wikipedia is not necessarily the most reliable source. So I saw that it talked about sales. So I thought, okay, I YouTubed FUD Factor and sales. Guess what I found? Videos on using the FUD Factor and sales. And basically, just the bottom line of it all is that in these instructional videos, the teacher says, identify the fear, the uncertainty, and the doubt of your customer, and then convince them of why your product or service will better address the issues of than your competitor. Now, maybe I'm the only one in this room, but I found that interesting. Because you see, we all have fears. We all have uncertainties. We all have doubts. And in that process, we are being played every day. Consider a few for a minute. Goodness knows they come around every other day, it seems like. But here we are in another election year. If you've not looked at it from this perspective, watch your news station of choice this afternoon. Both, I emphasize both with all capital letters, both political parties are stoking our fear, are stoking our uncertainty, are stoking our doubt with their versions of why we are doomed if the other party is elected. John's paraphrase, we're not worth a flip, but if you vote for them, we're really going to go down the tubes. So, you may be afraid of us, but I'd be more afraid of them. Watch your news station of choice and see if I'm not halfway correct. Or, you know, there are people lurking in the bushes at your house and they're just ready to jump into your house any minute. If you want to make sure your family is protected, you need to purchase our security system. Or, if you want to be sure you're covered in a crisis, you need to purchase our insurance. And goodness knows we've been bombarded with enough fear, uncertainty, and doubt during COVID-19 to last us a couple of lifetimes. And if you watch the national news in particular, what do they appeal to for their ratings? They tap into society's fears and they stoke the flames of hatred and distrust. Frankly, if we as a society started finding answers and solutions to the problems that confront us, they would be out of a job. I'm sure you have others that you could add to a list. And I will contend with you this morning that this is nothing new. Again, as I intend to do, I'm going to burst our bubble. Though the specifics differ according to the time, though the avenue in which they are personified, the ramifications of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, FUD, is nothing new. The devil has been using the FUD factor since creation. As long as people fear each other, there will be no resolution to racial, class, or ethnic divisions. It won't happen. And this is working real well in our present national debate, is it not? Perhaps most obvious in the wilderness experience, which is recorded in Exodus, a very effective way to have people look to other forms of security apart from God is to saturate the people in the desert with uncertainty, which heightens their fear, and that easily leads to grasping at straws such as the golden calf, as opposed to trusting God. And if we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we see where the devil used doubt to turn the first human beings away from believing that God meant what God said, and thus sin entered the world. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be manipulated or by anyone or anything because of my fears, my uncertainties, my doubts. Now, I would be less than genuine or less than honest if I tried to say I don't have any. I told Sally this morning while I was sitting at the kitchen table drinking my second cup of coffee and reading over the sermon, I said, I don't know if I can get in the pulpit this morning. My toes are so black and blue from stepping on my own toes reading over this. I have my own fears, my own uncertainties, my own doubts. And I hope that my fears and my uncertainties and doubts are based in reality and not emotion. But let me ask you something, both for myself and yourself, if you could identify with me. Even if my fears, my uncertainties, and my doubts are based in reality and not emotion, they add nothing to the resolution of the issue. Let me repeat that. Whether we're talking nation, world, or individual, my fear, my uncertainty, my doubt, even if totally based in reality, it does nothing to resolve the issues at hand. So what's a person supposed to do? First, receive the peace of Jesus. You'll recall Jesus' final night with his disciples. They were filled with fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And I understand why. We read this stuff from hindsight. They were meeting with Jesus before the crucifixion had taken place, much less before the resurrection had taken place, much less before Pentecost had taken place. They were living this. They weren't looking at this from after the fact. So they were filled with fear. They were filled with uncertainty. They were filled with doubt. And Jesus made a promise to them. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And then Paul would go on to say a few decades later in Philippians 4:4-8, "Rejoice in the Lord." When? You can answer. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
Always. During COVID? Yep. When some insurance company doesn't want to approve the surgery that your doctor says is necessary? Yep. When the economy is such that the stocks that you had based your retirement on, you're not so sure about anymore, rejoice. Yep. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But what happens if we do that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Have you ever tried it? Speaking for John, when I focus on Jesus, when I focus on His love, His grace, His forgiveness, His faithfulness, His promises, my fears, my uncertainties, and my doubts dramatically subside if indeed they don't just disappear. But as soon as I take my focus off of Jesus and I start listening to the voices shouting at me, my fears, my uncertainties, my doubts come back with a vengeance. So I'm intentionally striving to focus on Jesus. And thus, even in the midst of uncertainty and chaos, experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The more we focus on Jesus, hopefully, the more we come to love Jesus. For we cannot completely eliminate our fear, our uncertainty, our doubt until we're able to love as Jesus loves. And we can only love as Jesus loves to the extent that we love Jesus, which enables us to submit every single thought, every single attitude, every single action to Him. To the extent we love Jesus will be to the extent we're able to trust Jesus, even in the midst of the chaos that triggers the FUD factor in each of us. You'll recall part of what the Apostle John said in our scripture lesson this morning. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. So I ask us all this morning, do we love Jesus enough to completely trust Him? Do we love Jesus enough so that even when the situations appear bleak or long in resolving, we don't fear? We don't fear because we are certain of Jesus' love. And being certain of Jesus' love, we have no doubts that He is present and He is faithful. I mean, let's be real. There are plenty of voices preaching on various platforms why we should be scared to death. There are plenty of voices preaching from various platforms of why we should be totally uncertain. There are voices preaching from a variety of platforms of why we should be succumbed by doubt. And let's be real again. The situations are real. COVID-19 is real. Economic uncertainties are real. Diagnoses from the doctor you don't want to hear, they're real. Add your own to the list. The situations are real. It's not like we can just think our way out of this. They are real. And those real situations are challenging. They're painful. They're grief-producing. They're perplexing. Life is like that. But even in the midst of these realities, we can experience the peace of God. And remember, I've kept repeating this morning, and it's not original to me. It came from the Word. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And we experience that peace as we grow in our love for Jesus, who first loved us. So the more we're able to love Jesus, the more we conquer our fear, the more we conquer our uncertainties, the more we conquer our doubts. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, the people in this room believe in you. The people in this room love you. The people in this room trust you. The people in this room are human beings. And gracious Lord, there is a part of us that wants to do and practice what I just tried to preach. Yet, Lord, we're confronted with what we can see, for we are bombarded with it. We're bombarded with the bad news. We're bombarded with the scary news. We're bombarded with all kinds of negative and real news. And in our humanity, we're drawn to what we can see. And what we can see drowns us in fear, uncertainty, and doubt. For Lord, we're called to turn to you and look to you with the eyes of faith. We can't see you. It's sometimes hard to see your processes at work. And so, Lord, we're called to battle that which we can see with that with which we cannot see. And, Lord, without the power of your love and your Spirit, we can't do it. But, Lord, with the eyes of faith, we can look into your eyes. With the eyes of faith, we can hear your whisper. With the eyes of faith, we can conquer fear. We can conquer uncertainty. We can conquer doubt. And so, Lord, you know each one of us in this room. You know where we are on that continuum. Wherever we are, help us to love you more. Help us to trust you more to the place where we grow to perfect love and cast out all fear. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. You'll find your liturgy for Holy Communion on the insert in your bulletin. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
Blessed are you, our Alpha and our Omega, whose strong and loving arms encompass the universe. For with your eternal word and Holy Spirit, you are forever one God. Through your word, you created all things and called them good. And in you, we live and move and have our being. When we fell into sin, you did not desert us. You made covenant with your people Israel and spoke through your prophets and teachers. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who called you Abba, Father. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced the people as your own and filled them with a longing for a peace that would last and for a justice that would never fail. In Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead this same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And would you please stand for our closing prayer and benediction. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we have received the sacrament that you instructed us to receive. We experience a reminder of your love in the receiving of the elements that we're unable to experience in any other way. And so, Lord, you know each person in this room. May each be reminded of how much you love them. And may we all be more attracted to you and more able to love because you first loved us. And in loving you, casting out all our fears. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with each of you now and forevermore. Amen.